This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson. I'm sitting alongside Ryan Cozy. As we do every week here on Christ Together Radio, we're so glad you chose to join us today. And if you do every week, welcome back. And if it's your first time, we'd love to have you stick around and learn a little bit more about what God is doing through the Church of Western New York. We join you every Saturday morning at 9 and every Sunday at noon here on WDCX. You can also pick us up online. If you go to WDCXradio.com, click on that little tab that says Programs at the top and scroll on down to Christ Together Radio. You can click there and get all of our past programs and just hear about other people we've had on. This is a show about what God is doing in Western New York through His church. And as Blackaby said, we often quote him, is that we want to find out where God is moving, get underneath it, get involved, and join him on his mission. And so that's what this show is about. It's to let you know what's going on. Perhaps you can get involved at the very least, or at the very most, really, you could pray for God's work in Western New York. And today we bring you yet another individual who has come to Western New York, been here a while, but yet God just has implanted church planting on his heart and just placed that in his being. And we're just so excited to bring these guys to you, these younger guys, who, and I say younger, they're really not that young. We're just getting old, Ryan.
Right.
But that are just passionate about the mission of God in the world, and especially in Western New York. And so, Ryan, it's great to have Elijah here with us today.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, one of the things I'm excited about is, you know, when we talk about Christ Together Radio, and we've been doing this for a little while now, the reality is we really sense like God is asking us to focus on kind of three specific things. One is just the overall greater body partnership of the churches in the region, church to church and church to ministry and ministry to church. And then we also want to talk about the mobilization of everyday people. That's also something that's been really important to us at Christ Together Radio. And then church planting. And so, you know, we haven't touched on church planting in a little while. And so it's just excited to have somebody here who's wanting to plant a church. So, Elijah, welcome to the studio. We're glad you're here with us today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's awesome.
Yeah. So I know you've had a little bit of an interesting road in getting here. Maybe we'll get into that in the next segment. But we welcome you here, and we're excited to just hear a little bit more of your story, what God has put on your heart, and ways in which people can get involved or get connected to what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, Ryan, I love that you said we haven't done church planting in a while. We've done some different things, but we come back to it, and I think it's just it's so valuable. It seems trendy now that everybody's planting a church, and it's like, oh, just another church plant. But it really is valuable, and it really is a biblical and the most effective way to get the gospel to people in just a community sense. And the nature of church planting, the way it's happening, and the way, Elijah, that you're doing it, is so effective at what we call gospel saturation. Mm-hmm. Maybe just spend a couple minutes, Ryan, explaining to people what we mean by gospel saturation.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically the idea, when we say to saturate a region with the gospel, all that we mean is, we really desire for every man and every woman and every child to have repeated opportunities to hear, to see, and to respond to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And, you know, the reality is for us to be able to do that, is church planting the only way to make that happen? No, it's not. But it's a pretty important part of the puzzle.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about saturation, we literally look at Niagara and Erie County, and we know that there's other areas surrounding here, and so we have partners outside of those counties. But the reality is, we really think about 1.2 million people, and we ask ourselves, how is it that we are going to make sure that those folks who are born in Western New York, who live in Western New York, who may draw their last breath in Western New York, that they have those repeated opportunities to hear, see, and respond to the gospel? And the reality is there's some very tangible fruit that when God ushers and brings somebody up to plant a church, there's very tangible fruit that shows that new life happens when churches are planted. And so that's why we labor toward that end, because it helps us toward the end goal of saturation.
And what are some of the numbers? I think as people think, well, don't we have enough churches? But what are some of the numbers that Dwight Smith and you have worked out that for a region our size and for what it is now, how many more churches do we need to plan in order for what we call that gospel saturation to happen?
Yeah, so Dwight Smith, Dr. Dwight Smith, he's a missiologist, and he's he's been very influential in the life of a lot of churches in the region. And he does a lot of work overseas. And so in India and in China and in Bangkok and all these other places, they literally are talking about one church for every 1,000 people. That saturation, actually, it gets down to the street level when there's one church expression for every 1,000 people. And there are people who argue and say, well, geez, we've got enough churches in Western New York. And I said, well, yeah, well, what kind of churches are, you know, we have to take a deeper look at the, at the churches, right? It's not to say that the churches are bad or they're wrong, but there's something to be said for a church that's living on mission with Missio Dei. That God's on a mission, we need to join him in that mission, and part of us is to live under that. And so that's those churches that are planted with that every man, woman, and child DNA, that becomes really important to us in this process.
Well, you're listening to Christ Together Radio. That was Dr. Ryan Cozy. He's the pastor of Missional Living at the Chapel at Cross Point. Joining us today is Elijah Shemenda of Resurgent City, church starting in the Western New York area that we're going to learn more about today. And if you're interested in church planning or you just kind of want to see what this is all about, hey, stick around, grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, whatever. If you're in your car, keep us tuned in. We'd love to tell you more about what God's doing in Western New York. And thanks for joining us on Christ Together Radio. And again, as I mentioned, you can check us out every week, Saturdays at 9, Sundays at noon, and also on WGCXradio.com. If you click on programs, you can find all about Christ Together Radio. You can also see a picture of Ryan. If you've ever wondered what he looks like,
fantastic.
He is very handsome.
He's very fantastic.
He's very fantastic.
He's very good.
So check us out, Christ Together Radio. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Stick around.
This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brent Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, pastor of Missional Living at the Chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brent Larson, sitting alongside Ryan Cozy, joining you every week here on Christ Together Radio. Today in studio, Elijah David Shemenda of Resurgent City. And we're so, I almost said Resurgent City Church. It's not, it's just Resurgent City.
Yes, just Resurgent City.
That's right. I'm trying to be cool, man. All right, just let me know if I get a little dorky on you. No, I'm just kidding. Ryan does that.
I do.
Well, no, Elijah, welcome to WDCX, and we're just glad you stopped by today. Glad you made it here.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're not still walking from West Virginia.
Yeah.
You just came in from West Virginia. His car broke down there or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That was not a good time.
No. not- Lions, tigers, and bears down there.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad to have you here. Ryan, it's great to see men just answering God's call to the ministry, and not just the ministry, but to church planting in our area and to really investing in what's going on in Buffalo.
Yeah, absolutely. And Elijah, you know, same as Brett, I welcome you here. We're excited to get to put your story on display a little bit, learn more about just kind of who you are, where you're from, and how you got to Buffalo. I think that's one of the things that makes for great radio is, you know, God is on the move in our region, and it's been an interesting season of God kind of doing a couple things. Number one is raising up people from the area to do the work of the ministry over the years. In addition to that, he's bringing native sons and daughters home to Western New York, but he's also bringing outsiders. And you kind of have a little bit of a mixture of that in that, you know, your story is kind of interesting how you get to Buffalo. And so, you know, just for the listening audience that doesn't have a chance to know you super well, this is a great opportunity just to talk about kind of where you grew up, how you got here. What did that all look like for you?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I am a real African American. I was born in Africa, and now I'm an American. So I was born in Zimbabwe, my mom is from Zimbabwe. My dad's from Zambia. They met at a Bible college down in Zimbabwe. Around that time, Dad had finished up his undergrad. He had actually planted a church. So my dad is a church planter, and so he had planted a church, but he really felt a call to do missions work, and he was really God was leading him through evangelism and different things and that nature. So like he had the desire to just further his education, opportunities to come to the United States to do that. Mm-hmm. But his heart really wanted to continue on in missions. That's how we landed in the United States. And what started as a journey to get his degrees ended up being a heart with just people coming around saying, like, hey, we want to be a part of a community that loves Jesus and and just sees people want to the Lord. And really for the last however many years, 25 years here in the United States, he's just been planting churches and wherever God leads him, doing that. So I just kind of grew up around that situation. Yeah.
Where did he go to school?
He went to, if I was able to say what his undergrad was, it was a Bible college in Zimbabwe, but he did his master's and doctorate at Trinity.
Okay. So, that's awesome. Yeah. And so you said your dad's actually planted a few churches in the United States.
Yeah, he's planted a couple in the United States in Tennessee and in Atlanta and now here in Buffalo.
Yeah. Yeah, and your dad's name is?
David Shimenda.
David Shimenda, yeah. That's awesome, yeah. So did you catch the bug for it by just growing up and around it, or what did that look like for you?
Yeah, actually, I didn't want anything to do with being a pastor, honestly.
It's probably PK.
It's like every church, pastor's kid, know, and I always say my story is a little bit different because I don't think I ever had that moment where I was like, God, man, I'm upset at you. Like, I'm angry at you, right? But it was just like, man, these people are really mean. that was really my story. Like, I was like, man, here's my dad. And like most church planters, which are extending themselves, and he's missing my game to go bail this guy out who's an alcoholic. And time and time after again, and putting his own money in this guy's pocket, and the time when he says like I can't do that for you anymore, he's going around talking about my dad, and I'm like, you're missing my games for that, that's not cool. I love Jesus, but this right here is just weird and uncomfortable, and so like I don't want to be in ministry, honestly. Mm-hmm. I would rather just be a really good guy, raise my family up to know Jesus, and I'm good with that. And I didn't want anything to do with it, honestly. Yeah.
It's funny. I used to, prior to coming into ministry, I worked in project management, and when I took my first job in vocational ministry, it was really challenging. And I remember getting to the point where I was being offered a job here at the chapel almost 9 years ago. I remember talking with the pastor there, Daryl Largis, and I said, I'm for the local church. I just don't know that I want a paycheck from it. Because I just, there's a lot of mixed emotions that come with that. And I mean, gosh, it's powerful to think about, man, your old man is trying to follow Jesus and he's feeling led to go help a guy out of jail. Mm-hmm. But there's a cost to the family in all of that. And so how are you, are you all good together now? Like you and your dad, I know it was, those are challenging times for the mm-hmm. family dynamic, but, how is it for you and your father today?
Yeah, no, man, he is my hero. And I think the older that I get, the more I realize man, the sacrifices that he's made, as well as my mom, they've just been amazing. And so seeing he has a deep love for people. Mm-hmm. His ministry may not be thousands, but every time he's left the church plant that he's planted for years and had just deep roots in that city and with people, the consistent testimony is that, man, your dad loved me, mm-hmm. and so I'm here today because of this. And I remember those moments vividly now of people which were broken, really broken. And so for me, that was those were moments I think I've held on to and I'm trying to keep in this time of this is now the path that God is taking me to. But yeah, no, he's my hero, and he really did a good job of being intentional to love me and to be there for me and have these conversations even when I was just frustrated with the church.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. I'm Ryan Cozy along with my co-host Brett Larson, and in studio today is Elijah Shimenda. He's going to be planting a church called Resurgence City in Buffalo in 2018. We're looking forward to hearing a little bit more about that. Before we do that, though, there's a point in your life in which you you're growing up and you're trying to figure out what am I going to do now that I get, now that I'm an adult. And ultimately, God leads you into a calling to plant a church. So, so how did what does that look like for you leading up to this point? I mean, have you been working at another church? If so, how did you get into vocational ministry? And then how did you get the sense that God was calling you to plant a church?
Yeah, so actually, so this my story is a little bit weird in the fact that it definitely I didn't want to go into ministry, and I had a little bit of athletic ability, and so in Tennessee, man, like it's a southern state, man. Football is king, and so I was blessed to play on a high school football team, which was just known throughout the country. And with a bunch of talent around, just for a quick example, like my next door neighbor was David Price. Like we just grew up across the street from each other, you know? And like another guy, which I played ball against was Sonny Gray. Like just, you know, not to name drop, but like these were just guys, which we kind of just hung around. So like there was just crazy talent around the area. And so I thought, man, football was going to be a path for me. But it just wasn't. Got hurt during the process, and so just angry, trying to figure out God, like why is this not working the way that I wanted to? I'm good at it, like and so what ended up happening is I ended up at a small Christian school down in Cleveland, Tennessee, called Lee University, my freshman year. And I was in a New Testament class with a professor, and man, I've been looking for this guy because I just want to tell him how amazing he was for me, because he singled me out in a class of about 110, 120, and I would, instead of taking my exams like there, I would take it in his office right next to him, and I was a psych major. I was like, man, this is what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to be a family therapist. And I remember I was just, thank God, like I was really good in that class. Because you grade him right there in front of me. But and we'll just talk. And he would just say, like, man, I see something in you. Like you have this hunger for scripture. You have this hunger for the gospel. Man, I think you should think about going into ministry. And I was like, no, I don't want any parts of that. But he just kept on speaking that into my life. Through that process, somebody had heard about me, and like I wasn't playing football, and so some connections happened. So Liberty kind of came into the picture. So I went up to Liberty my sophomore year, to make a long story short, it was the combination of my of Matt Chandler, who came to chapel and preached a message which just fired me up, and I was like, man, first of all, this guy can preach, and then second of all, like he's saying, like, you know, we need you in ministry. We need you guys not just to sit here and soak up all this education, but to be a part of the local church and growing the kingdom. And then my Missions 101 professor said, like, hey, America is declining. The church is declining in America. And I think at the time it was like the third most unchurched country or something like that. And I remember just like, oh, man. And he said, like, Seattle is number one. So like I'm young. I'm like 19.
That's where I'm going.
I don't even know where it's at right now. Like, but like I'm going there, and I'm gonna preach the gospel. And so like this, there was just this fire, and that was probably the moment I realized, like, God is calling me. I have a deep passion to see unchurched people like loved and brought into this relationship with God. So that those experiences kind of shaped. It wasn't like that, like, you know, burning bush moment, but it was just the slow burning process, I think, and God just positioning people slowly to kind of come around me.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's really cool.
He's a Liberty guy.
Yes, we're all Liberty guys.
You know, there
guys,
was something about you when you came in that I just thought, it's a special guy.
I like this man. I like him very much.
Yes.
He's very good.
I think I'm a Liberty guy, too.
Yes.
So. Yeah.
Cool. Yes.
Anyway, that's great. I'm looking forward to getting to know more about how you ended up in Buffalo and church planning here. But just it's cool to see how I always say that, but it really is to see how God orchestrates from when you're a young child and trains you up in the way you should go as people influence your life and begins to bring people in your life that direct you on the path that He has for you.
Yeah.
And in your case, it's church planting and ministry. You're going to be a family therapist, which is just crazy. My sister's a family therapist. Sometimes I think it's just to figure me out.
Yeah. No, and it is cool, like, just the legacy of a family that follows after the Lord. So your father, sounds like your mother, both, like, just following hard after Jesus. And, you know, like, there's not everybody had that experience. You know, that wasn't, you know, my mom followed hard after Jesus. My dad only recently became a Christian. Yeah. And so it's just exciting to just hear stories of, like, you said your dad is your hero. Mm. I mean, that's just powerful to think about.
Well, and for everybody now, Ryan, who's a dad, like us.
Yeah.
How important it is to leave a legacy for your kids to follow, and that the day to day that happens now, it impacts your kids for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
And it's just important to leave that legacy. And you're right. It just we're both thankful, and also thankful that God can use, you know, the warts of the past to train us up. As your dad, you know, has accepted Christ and is living for him now, and just how cool that's been for you and him both. So you're listening to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson. That's Ryan Kosius. We co-host every week. Today in studio, Elijah David Shimenda. Joining us, he's planning Resurgent City here in Buffalo, and just looking forward to knowing more about that specifically as we've kind of dug into Elijah's background. So stay with us here on Christ Together Radio. As always, you can check us out Saturdays at 9, Sundays at noon, right here on WDCX.
Email your questions to Brett and Ryan about anything you've heard, or just about anything you can think of. Send them to ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Brett Larson and Ryan Kosius joining you every week, every Saturday at 9 a.m. and every Sunday at noon here on WDCX. Also, check us out online at WDCXradio.com. Click on programs and you'll see our link there that you can click and find out more about us. And all of our past episodes are on there too. So it's a really cool resource for you to find out more about what God's doing in Western New York and listen to more of Ryan as he's, you know, on every broadcast.
You got it. It's a lot of fun. It's a good time. And all the good stuff happens during the breaks, as it just did recently.
It does. It's very funny. And actually, most of it's recorded, so we just trust our producers not to air it all, right?
Well, he didn't mean that, really.
We have a lot of explaining
just
to
a
do.
Goofy conversation.
I'm just kidding. It really is a blessing to be a part of not only Christ Together Radio, but the Church of Western New York, Ryan. And I thank you for you know, the work you do there.
Oh, man,
we don't get an often chance enough to thank each other, but thank you.
Yeah, you bet. And I'm super thankful for WDCX. Yeah. I mean, we have a platform because of you guys to where we can talk about just what God's doing in and through the region. And you know, with regard to the Church of Western New York, are we fully arrived? Have we fully arrived? No, we haven't. We have so far to go. But, you know, this is a platform through which we can talk about real issues that have come up in partnership. Yeah. It's a chance to talk about new works like what we're doing today with Resurgent City. So it's just fun. I'm grateful for you guys giving us a platform to talk about these things.
Yeah, we're glad to have Elijah David Shimenda on with us today. Elijah, I love what you refer to yourself as. You are a real African American. Like, you know, like, I'm a Swedish American. Like, you're the real African American.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't even born in Sweden. I'm just Swedish heritage, and I love it. But, like, born in Zimbabwe.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, were you born in Zambia or Zimbabwe?
No, so I was born in Zimbabwe. My dad's Zambian. Yeah. My mom is Zimbabwean.
Yeah. Yes. Now, I forget how, because all those countries are tight right in that area, but how far is Zambia from Zimbabwe?
They actually border each other. They used to be called Rhodesia at one time. Gotcha. Yeah. And then they each started getting their independence. Uh-huh. And so as part of the mess that's kind of going on, some of the residue of that that's going on right now, but yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of different, the borders change and things happen. And
It's been cool. I know we talked about this a little bit, but like it's been cool to see my mom, who is Zimbabwean, like what she's going through right now as this guy Mugabe is been moved out of power, and like she's texting me. You know, she's a nurse at Mercy, and so she's texting me like
this is actually happening.
This is happening, like, you know, and you know, 37 years, and this guy who took one of the best economies in Africa, which was Zimbabwe was once called the breadbasket of Africa, and just destroyed it. Like, it's and the poverty which you see there. I was there 2.5 years ago, and just to see, man, like, just people, like, just struggling. And, like, I've never seen that type of poverty before. Yeah. Like, you see it in, like, movies from afar, like, and then to stand there and say, like, wow. Like,
heartbreaking.
Yeah, it was. But, like, what's amazing, at the same time, it's like the church is thriving there. Mm. Right. And like you see people which are passionate about Jesus, and like you walk into a place and the way that they pray, like just I get goosebumps, like just thinking about people which just love Jesus. So like, yeah, it was a weird picture, but I think a lot of prayers have gone up. And so I know there's a lot of people which are excited to start rebuilding that country in a really healthy way. So
that's great.
Yeah,
that is. That's great. That's great. And it's. So often here in America, we Ryan, we talk about this before too. Like sometimes when you have money, you don't really need anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have the wealth and the in different parts of the church, different areas of the country, different areas outside cities, and urban centers, when you have the money, you don't need. So you don't think about it because you don't have to.
Yeah.
And there is God is at move all over the world,
mm-hmm.
and in all different ways and contexts, and it's so valuable to see that. Mm-hmm. As you have. And how many times have you been there? I mean, you were just there a few years ago.
Yeah, I was. So that was kind of like my trip back. Like I hadn't because I came when I was about four. And so to the States. And so like I've been here for about 25 years. Mm-hmm. And so like just from school, and I was always heavy in sports. And if I wasn't doing something, during the school year, I'm doing something in the summertime. So like my schedule is always weird. So I was like, man, I got to get back and see that. So that was my first trip back, and I got to see my grandparents and see that legacy. He was at my grandfather in Zimbabwe was actually one of the first educated Nazarene pastors in Zimbabwe. So I have a history of that too, of church planting, which even goes beyond me, my dad, like of my grandfather there. And so, but that was nuts just to kind of just my grandparents just to look at me and just like, you've grown, you know. They said in their native tongue, and I was just like, I don't even know what you're saying. I'm African American, remember? So
the American part's my language.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool. That's good stuff.
Yeah. That's cool. So Ryan and I were just talking. You graduate from college. You finish up your college degree or your college training for the ministry, and then you kind of go, okay, Lord, what do you want for me, or what happens?
Yeah. So that part of my life is over, and then my dad at that time had moved from Tennessee to Atlanta. He had transferred the church that he had planted in Tennessee, and so there was a new work that he was starting in Atlanta, and this place was just, man, just grimy. It was gritty, and it was with really broken people, a lot of which were dealing with the fallout of like the drug epidemic. And so like he was working with them, and so what I did was I took on a job. There was no pay, and so like I just volunteered. So a lot of it was, man, sweeping floors, vacuuming, and then like my dad was like, hey, you have this training, why don't you let's start building a youth ministry around this vision, and you know, just serve. And so I wasn't a youth pastor or volunteer. It was just like, hey, here's the need, do it. And so man, just cutting my teeth on like starting something new and having to learn how to do that was interesting. And then just helping my dad with like extreme cases. Like one of the most vivid stories I remember was that one of our deacons, which we had worked really hard in helping him and his wife with reconciliation and rehab, and he had just gone to been raised up to a level of leadership. One Sunday he doesn't show up to church, and we're like, where is this guy? And his wife is like, yeah, he's been gone for like 3 days. And so she's like, I know where he's at. So I'm in my suit. I'm in a 3-piece suit, and so like they're like, hey, let's go. And so we jump in the car, and we drive. And I'm like, man, this doesn't look like regular Atlanta. Where are you taking us? She took us to a crack house, and like the guy standing at the door, the way that Atlanta is, they call them trap houses down in Atlanta. And so like it's kind of like two houses. They're kind of broken down, shabby. Yeah. It's in the middle of nowhere. And you just know these guys are carrying. Mm-hmm. And I'm in this suit.
Yeah.
And like I don't have this like little 4-foot, you know, whatever lady, which is like leading. I'm like, Jesus, is this where my story ends? Like, you know what I'm saying? And
on to glory.
Man, it was crazy. But like, and just grabbing him and loving on him. And so like, man, just ridiculous stories of just caring about people, which were like really in dark places. And just another one of those moments where I feel like God was just moving the chess pieces and training me, like whether it's cutting my teeth on like creating something new. There was no picture of a youth ministry for me. It was, okay, we have some teens, do something. Or it's like, hey, go beyond yourself, serve by going to this, to go find this deacon, which was, you know, out there lost. And so it was just little stories like that over and over and over again through in my experience in Atlanta that kind of started kind of bubbling this, like, man, I love this. Like, mm-hmm. I love caring about, like, lost people or you know, my dad grabbing me in the middle of the night, you know, or like 1, 2 a.m. in the morning. Hey, we got to go. There's somebody who needs our help. And wow. So the ministry was not big or by any stretch of the imagination. It was just like, man, getting to know people at a really, really deep level. Yeah. And so like that's working bivocationally and, mm-hmm. and saying like, hey, this is what it looks like. So, I mean, I loved it. That's probably some of my favorite years was just doing that for the first time.
Man, there's a couple of things that as I listen to you that I think are just, man, they stick out to me. One is that sort of experience you can't get unless you're in it. You know, the willingness of I am, you know, this is how you cut your teeth. This is the work of the ministry. And the second thing that I think about with that is, you know, and I'm guilty of this sometimes, is like sometimes you can get so focused on saturation that you forget that one of the most important parts of saturation is loving people in their brokenness and being willing to slow yourself down to tangibly address a need so that God can be glorified even in the little things as you continue to look at 1.2 million people, 1.5 million in Atlanta. I don't even know how many. There's millions. Mm-hmm. That all of those people would have repeated opportunities to hear, see, and respond to the gospel. What a great opportunity you had to kind of have as just a training center the experiences that you just talked about. I mean, that's profound. Yeah, that's amazing. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. This is Ryan Cozy along with my co-host, Brett Larson, Swedish-American, as he pointed out earlier. And we're hosting today.
I get very offended when you don't call me by that.
Elijah Sermenda, who is planting Resurgence City in Buffalo in 2018. And we're going to get to that in a little bit. But, you know, Elijah, coming out of that experience in Atlanta, how do you get to Buffalo at that point?
Yeah, man, like I at that time, the only thing I knew about Buffalo was Terrell Owens had just come up here.
You have to remind us of that.
We just forgot about
and
that.
And this interview's over. No,
eject.
Cut his mic.
Did T.O. ever play for Buffalo? I'm not even sure.
And so, like, ESPN showed the craziest, like, 5-second clip of, like, the snowstorm and they were like,
of course they did.
Like the headline was like T.O. is depressed or something. I was like, oh man, I was like, that's Buffalo. And so that was my full picture of Buffalo. And so I had, at the time, you know, I didn't think that that's where we're going. Dad just had a desire. He's like, man, I got one more in me. Right. And so, he had planted in the South and that was great, but he had one more. He had a desire to have one more in him. So we actually went and prayed. We went on the 21-day fast together.
Crazy.
Yeah, it is.
People
nuts.
Do that? Yes, yeah. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they do.
They do. And here he is.
Yeah. It was I would just say like it was Holy Spirit driven because like that pushed me beyond my limits. It was just water and juice. And I lost so much weight. And I was like, man, like,
you would.
But like, man, me and my dad would wake up. This is a habit. It's a spiritual discipline that I grew up watching him do. And so like, I started joining in that. And so he would wake up at 3 a.m. in the morning and pray for about 2 hours every morning. And he still does that till today. And so like, you know what? I feel like I'm saying all this, and it sounds like it's super spiritual, but it's really not.
I feel really lazy right now.
I am a loser.
Yes, exactly.
It's terrible. Like I don't want to make it sound like that. It's just like I think part of that was like for him it was is growing up in Africa and like man like we have God or we have nothing, you know, kind of mentality. So you learn that.
Wow.
So like I think that's what carried over here to the States. And so like I grew up around that. So like to me that was a little that's normal. But like it's never been anything special. It's not, and I don't even say in a prideful way, but like it was just something like, hey, you know, let's see what God wants to do. And so like we went on that and we just prayed and we would wake up and that was, it was such a fun time in the life of me and my dad, and just getting closer together and just trying to hear his voice. And so what happened was during that time, he just felt like, man, Buffalo's the place. Mm. And so he had some contacts, in the area. Long story short, he was like, man, this is where we're going to go, and do you want to come with me?
Mm. All right, I'm going to stop you there. We're going to pick up in just a second. You're listening to Christ Together Radio, Ryan Cozy and Brett Larson hosting, as always, joined by Eliza David Shimenda. We'll be back in just a minute.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on his mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. We're so glad you joined us today as we talk with Eliza David Shimenda about his work with Resurgent City in Buffalo. And we're kind of just hearing his story. It's been pretty cool, actually. It's neat that, Elijah, that you're from Zimbabwe. Africa is my... I've been to a couple different countries, a couple different mission trips. Africa is like my place I want to go someday. I want to do like some sort of safari. I just want to see Africa. I've heard it's just amazing.
Yeah.
Especially like, you know, out in the wilderness part, in the bush. And I don't know. So someday maybe you can take me. All
yeah,
right?
Definitely.
It's not going to happen unless I...
unless
Elijah takes me. Because it's just...
No pressure, Elijah.
Yeah, no pressure.
I was 4 when I left there.
Yeah. You're in my office, so you know where to find me. So... I find out you went and I didn't go. we got problems. Make all my dreams come true.
Hey, in the last segment, you were leading up to your dad coming to Buffalo, you joining him with your family. Why don't we pick up there and kind of just use our last segment to kind of learn how you were helping your father in the, you know, I think it's cool that your dad was like, I got one more in me. You know, yeah. He's like Rocky. He's got one more fight left. Yeah. And so he's doing it. So you join him.
Yeah.
Pick up there. And then let's try to finish the segment with how you get to feeling called to plant the church Resurgent City.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Yeah. No, awesome. So we got up to in New York in 2011. During that time, which is a long backstory, but decided on Buffalo. This was the place that God wanted us to plant, and so the desire was to be in the city, and everything was moving in that direction, and the Wesleyan Church came behind my dad and my family, and they were like, yeah, this is what we want to see. During that process, you know, like most church plants, there's just a lot of things that happen. They ended up at a church off of in Cheektowaga and Union.
Okay.
And so like that was supposed to be very temporary. What ended up happening is, like any church plant is supposed to do, they started reaching the people in their neighborhood, right? And so like
it actually worked.
It actually worked, right? Church plant actually worked. And so like it was really hard for them to move. Around that time, because we were really like almost every day, we're like going into the city, and I started falling in love with this place, was really foreign for me, because like I was like coming in, I was like, I'm gonna help my dad do this. Yeah. This is gonna get me ready to plant, and then I'm gonna go to that place in Seattle that my mission's prepared.
Matt Chandler got you going.
You're still thinking of T.O. playing in the snow,
exactly right? Yeah. And I was like, man, like there's a lot of the same things that I see here. Like this place is, you know, for the macro point of view, like it's just far away from the gospel, and like it needs it. So like, man, this desire to just kind of start burning from the beginning. And so we were there in Cheektowaga, but I was like, man, I think I'm supposed to be in the city. Hmm. So what that started doing was for me, I started reaching out to different places. So I did a mentor program with Cheektowaga, the school district there, with their middle school. They were in need of young black men to because just the influx of African American students coming into their school. So I just called them. I was like, "Is there anything I can do?" And they were like, "Yeah, you can be a mentor." I was like, "All right,
that sounds good."
Yeah, yeah. I was like,
I'll do that.
Yeah, what do they do?
Exactly. You know, and so it just, you know, building those relationships, getting to know, like, you know, some kids there, and then started coaching semi-pro football, started meeting some people in the city, and that was the semi-pro football world is a really weird space. Just
who are you coaching, by the way?
The Hamburg Hornets, but they, like, all the players were from, like, in, like, yeah, East Side Buffalo, and so, like, and these guys believe they're basically the Bills.
Yeah, they're going to the show eventually.
It was like the way they talked about it. I was like, man, like, you guys do know, like, you paid to do this, right?
We got cut of the house money, though. Well, they didn't make any money tonight.
I'm bivocational church planner. You're bivocational football player.
Exactly. Right. It was just a really weird, like, experience. But, like,
you guys do realize you pay to do this.
That's really great. That's great.
It was, yeah, and they would, like, you know, but, like, man, meeting those guys and, like, that's, like, it just continued to, like, that. That stirred up inside of me. My barber, which is right on Main Street, my barbershop, I've been going there since I came here.
Now, where do you get your cut at?
Man, if you hadn't asked me the name, I would have remembered. But it's right across from Rite Aid. Man, what's his name? Diedrich is my barber. Shout out to Diedrich.
Okay, there you go.
These guys are awesome. And so, like, what quickly started happening was, like, they realized, like, hey, you are in ministry. You love Jesus. So they started calling me Rev. And so, like, every question, like, every time I came in there, hey, Rev. What's up, Rev? Like, and so, like,
and you got the Bible question.
If you ever been in a barbershop, and then, like, there's, if you ever been to a barbershop, like, you have, like, your Christian barbers, and then there's always the one guy who's, like a Muslim barber. So, like, me and him are now, like, in these debates or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but, like, it was cool, though, because, like, he was like, come on, brother, let's do it. And so we built a relationship. But during that time, God was just starting to, like, there was this really clear picture that at some point I'm going to plant here.
Mm-hmm.
And then, again, God started moving the chess pieces, and a really close friend of mine who had been mentoring me from a distance at Orchard Park Wesleyan called my dad and was like, hey, man, I would love to bring your son on full-time staff. Like, he's working bivocationally, and he has this desire to be in the ministry, like, and we talked, like, would you mind letting him train under me? And love this man, Todd Glendening, brought me in. And so I came into Orchard Park during that time, like, he was exhausted and with, like, a lot of the things that ministry does. And this is a story and a testimony that he tells wherever, like, he just got burnt out. And that was a week into my hiring.
Wow.
So I was like, man, I don't know what's happening right now, you know? But again, without me knowing, God is just moving the pieces around. And this guy, which we had met when we first came to this area, to New York area, and trying to figure out where we're going to plant, his name was Dan Jones, and said, like, Buffalo is the place. Ended up being the pastor after about, like, I think it was 5 years after. So, he was the new pastor that came in, and so, like, We sat down, and he was just like, what's your desire? I was like, man, I really know that God's calling me to plant a church. He's like, give me 1 year. Let me train you up. He's like, and let's see where we go from there.
That's great.
And so, like, man, they have just been poured into me. I went through assessment, did all that stuff, training. And then I'm sitting in his office one day, and he's like, man, we want to come behind you. Hamburg Wesleyan is planning on investing in us $60,000 because we planted them 60 years ago. Yeah. Like, what is it? Like, we don't want to just keep that money. We want to put that in you. And I'm sitting in the office. I'm like, what? You know, I'm thinking, like, I'm going to be in, like, my basement.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to rough it out. And he's like, hey, man, we want to give you these funds. Then a couple weeks later, I'm sitting in his office again. Wednesday's a staff meeting. He's like, you know what? We don't really have any skin in the game. Like, we want to, like, us giving you what Hamburg is doing is not really, you know, us saying we're behind you. It's just kind of us passing it along. we want to add an additional $40,000 into what you're doing. And so, like, it was just these moments of God just continuing just to say, like, hey, man, like, what this desire, this dream that I've put in you,
I'm confirming that I want it to happen.
Yeah, and so, like, it's just been this amazing God moment of, like, God just like, man, I have this desire. I want to see God do something amazing in the city, and that's how it came about.
I just love hearing those stories. I mean, the reality is you are sensing where God is moving, and you're just trying to follow where he's leading you. And that's just an incredibly encouraging thing. Shout out to Hamburg Wesleyan for jumping in, putting skin in the game. Yeah. Shout out to Orchard Park Wesleyan for putting skin in the game. The reality is this is the kind of stuff, it's funny when unbelievers look in and they hear a story like this, like, oh, this guy wants to plant a church. And, this other church felt like, yeah, that makes sense. And then this other church that he was working at, they felt like that made sense. A lot of the unbelieving world looks at that and goes, yeah, that would make sense. You should do that. Mm-hmm. It's the Christian world that looks at it. It's like, what's the catch? What's the angle?
Yeah.
And, I feel like by God's grace over the last 10 years, he's really given us enough stories to counter the skepticism toward that end. This is another one of those stories where God will be glorified because of this, I'm just so thankful. One great story that as part of the 60-year celebration of Hamburg that they did that. Yeah. I think that's phenomenal. I'm super encouraged by, Ken Nash and the team over there and what God's doing in and through the people there. I'm also just excited that Orchard Park just stepped up like that, because that that's the kind of stuff that helps an unbelieving world look at believers and go, maybe there is something to this.
Yeah.
And maybe people be drawn by God's irresistible grace because of stories like this.
Yeah.
And because of the work that God's going to use you to do when he plants you in the area that you're at. And so as we close today, how much time we got, Beth?
We got about 3 minutes.
About 3 minutes. So. Yeah. Where are you sensing that God is leading you to plant in Western New York?
Yeah, I think God is definitely called to us to a specific type of ministry, and that's a ministry that's just transcultural, that sees a bunch of different cultures, is the epicenter of a bunch of different cultures crossing each other. And so what that looks like for us, I believe, is really on that Main Street kind of corridor area. We want to be more of a incarnational church, if that makes sense, if I'm using the word right. I did go to Liberty. And so that was a shot. I'm sorry. we want to be a church that kind of sits in different pockets and says, like, hey, where's a safe space for people to cross the street?
Okay.
And so, like, so that downtown, really theater district and up area, that's kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah. That sounds good. Well, why don't we pick that up more next week. But Brett, go ahead.
A final thing that I was thinking of as you told the ending of your story and how the church plant happened is in Pastor Dan's investment in your life and just others who've come in, is that we as Christian leaders, Ryan, as people, someday your church is going to be planted and mature and whatever. And we need to be looking for opportunities to invest in others who are coming on behind us. And I think that's one area even that we've talked about in our local church context, is that we really miss in the American church, is the concept of mentorship and just bringing guys up and saying, hey, I see something in you, and I'm going to take time and make myself uncomfortable to watch God work in you now.
Yeah.
And that can be so valuable, not only for the individual, but for the church at large to benefit what God is doing. And we talk about Missio Dei, and that's part of getting behind the Missio Dei, is as God works in others, is to get behind that and invest in them. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, sitting alongside Dr. Ryan Cozy, pastor of Missional Living at the Chapel at Cross Point. And today we had Elijah David Shemenda on with us. He'll be pastoring Resurgent City here in the Buffalo area. And so we're just excited about what God is doing. We're excited about sharing that with you. And we hope today that you were blessed and that it encourages you, and maybe it sparks a flame in you that you want to see God work in your life, or if it may not be church planting, it may not be something like that, but just getting involved in your church and maybe standing up and getting behind someone who's doing something, whatever that might be. It might just be walking next door to your neighbor and doing something good for them for the sake of the glory of God. And so we just hope that today, in some way, shape, or form, you were sparked. We hope you'll tune in next week, Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., Sundays at noon. Also, you can check us out online at WDCXradio.com. I'm Brett Larson for Ryan Cozy and our special guest, Eliza David Shimenda. Have a blessed week and go serve your King.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.